Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Shane, what was the biggest challenge for you out there tonight?
It's a loaded question. Just finding the zone, getting off speed pitches for strikes, getting the two strikes, and then finishing guys off with two strikes.
I thought it was a little high for me, but I checked. I thought it was a strike. It was touching the line. It's part of the game too, so nothing on that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. You heard the voices there of Shane Smith, who had a rough outing, man. One of his roughest, and he didn't have the changeup working. And
nope.
You heard him talk about the game, and then that's Edgar Cuero, the catcher,
yep,
who got thrown out for arguing balls and strikes.
Quick hook.
Yeah, kind of, you know, young maybe guy not. Said maybe something, whatever.
There are a lot of umpires these days, it seems, that want to be them. Teaching people lessons.
I'm done with that.
You done with umpires?
I'm just...
You done with the human umpire?
I got to be honest with you.
The robot umps?
I think I'm done with the quick hooks. I'm done with this, like, I'm the guy in charge, and I'm going to show you. You must respect... Hey, earn it, you know?
Yeah.
Do something.
Right.
Let it go and manage it like a pro.
They had the calls on CHSN last night. Did you see that? It was pretty egregious. I understand the frustration.
Anyway.
And guys do want to make their presence known.
No one ever went to a game to watch the umpire.
That's the adage.
That's it.
I don't think anybody's going to Wright Field to watch the umpiring crew or Wrigley Field or anywhere.
That's right. You're going for the food if you're going to the south side, and you're going for the baseball if you're going to the north side.
Let's face it. If you're going to the south side, if you're going to Wright Field, you're going for the selfie with the Pope mural. That's why you're going.
That's me.
It's all related.
That's why
you would go. Everything, it would be very Pope-driven.
I am still going to get you a Pope t-shirt.
I would wear it.
I know you would.
I would wear it on the air here.
But I think the kind of Pope t-shirt I want to buy would probably disintegrate with one washing. You know what I mean?
Because it'd be the cheap one?
No, not...
Would you like me to pick you up one today when I'm going to the ballpark?
No. I went down there looking for one for my brother, because it was his birthday. I wanted to get him one, and I bought him a very nice one, and it was a little more than I wanted to pay for it, but it was the only sanctioned t-shirt. So that was cool.
Does the diocese get a cut of that?
That's a good question. If it's the only sanctioned t-shirt, I'm guessing if it's not the diocese, it's maybe the
Catholic
Church.
Did you get one for yourself or just your brother?
I didn't. I couldn't afford two of them. I would have gotten
you one. I'm going to look today.
Because I think I can get one cheaper than the one the dudes are selling. They're not licensed,
well,
but they're expensive.
The dudes are selling. They got to make a living too. The dudes are.
Hey, all the young dudes.
It's part of the atmosphere.
The news.
Yes.
I'm all for it.
It might be a little warm, so I don't want to walk around the ballpark too much before.
Don't leave it to me. I've got a plan. I'm gonna.
We digress.
Okay, but we want to talk about. I wanted to talk about.
You had something on your mind about the White Sox.
I just wanted to talk about the draft for a second because the MLB draft is, what is it, about
July 13th.
Yeah, it's a few weeks away. But we got tomorrow, we got the NBA draft, right? And the NBA draft is fascinating to me, always has been, but especially when you got like a player like Cooper Flagg.
And Friday is the NHL draft.
And Friday is the NHL draft. And who's the number one pick? There's three guys.
Matthew Schaefer.
Okay, but it's not the same as like the Bedard draft.
No, it's not a Bedard draft.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
not a
Celebrini draft.
And that's kind of my point.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
there's not a generational player.
I don't know if you feel Cam Ward was a generational player.
I don't.
I don't either.
No.
But I do feel like he was the guy you had to take if you had the number one pick. Mm-hmm. And so they did so. I also feel like he's going to end up starting because they took him with the number one overall pick.
Okay.
I don't know that you can set, like, Cooper Flagg will be the number one overall pick and he'll be a starter. And I don't know if you can say that about, like, the baseball draft. I think there is not a Paul Skenes in this baseball draft.
I would beg to differ.
So while the White Sox wound up not getting the number one overall pick, now they have this rule, which seems insane, that if you are in the top of the draft, now in order to keep you from
tanking,
the White Sox, because they were already high in the draft, they get themselves the number 10.
That's as high as they can go.
It's the highest they
regardless of the fact they made a yes. They set a record for futility.
They set a record for the worst season in baseball history, and they pick 10th. So but they pick first in every other
you're
round.
You're okay with this because you don't see a generational talent
it's not like
the draft.
They're going to miss Skenes.
I don't agree. I mean, I think that's an interesting way to look at it, and especially if you want to rationalize it. But I look at a lot of these mock drafts and a lot of these – prospect guys, and Ethan Holliday. Name,
oh, yeah.
The name
one
rings
of the
a bell.
Holidays.
Because he's one of the Holidays.
He's the younger brother of.
Yes.
And the son of.
Not the one that, not the Holiday that got traded from the Celtics to the Blazers today. That's the NBA. This is Ethan Holliday. His brother is Matt Holliday.
Yes.
He's the son of Matt Holliday.
Son of Matt
Holliday.
And
a brother, Jackson Holliday.
Yes, from the Orioles.
And I think that would be a holiday to celebrate if the White Sox were drafting first.
Well, I mean, again, maybe you're right, but I'm just saying there are like, I don't know, 10, 15 high school shortstops that everybody thinks could end up being really good players. And, you know, the high school shortstop often becomes your third baseman, your second baseman, even an outfielder. It's a wonderful thing to get because you put your best athlete at shortstop in many high schools.
They do that in many systems. The Cubs have did that. They've done that for years, and you see other the White Sox. It's very common to do in Major League Baseball to deal with your minor leagues and put your draft shortstops and then figure out where they fit best.
And also in baseball, not everybody goes directly to the it's kind of like hockey. You know, you draft a guy and then you see how he turns out, and some guys you get to quicker than others, but it's not like every year there are players going directly to the professional game.
I know what you're saying, and that is true. That's the rule. But there have been quite a few notable exceptions in recent years. Number one, I'm thinking of
Skenes.
Well, Paul Skenes, certainly.
Yeah.
Paul Skenes was drafted in June and making an impact later that summer,
no
much like Chris Sale did years before him. But I'm also thinking of Cam Smith. Cam Smith, the Cubs drafted out of Florida State in the first round a year ago. He started opening day in right field for the Houston Astros.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also thinking of the guy the Sox passed on, which gives me a little bit of pause with everything to do with White Sox drafts this year. If they're picking 10th, I want to know who's going 11th because I want that guy.
Who did they pass on? Who are you
Jack Caglione.
Of? Oh, yeah.
Jack Caglione. Now, I think Hagen Smith can still have a very good career.
Back off your
but did you see what Jack Caglione did last week? Two home runs.
Yeah, that's nice.
He's already good hitting home runs at the major league level.
Go Gators.
Okay.
But don't
you miss him?
Yeah, no, I don't miss anything.
Okay.
They don't have any power hitters. Look, but my point is simply the good thing about this rule is that, for instance, Colorado picked in the top 10 a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of how bad they are, and right now they're worse than the White Sox, although they recently won 3 games in a row.
They're coming in hot.
But they will not qualify for the number one overall pick. If they get it, they will pick 10th. They will do the exact same thing that the Sox were forced into for this draft. And again, I'm trying to be upbeat about it, and I'm trying to look at drafts differently depending on the game that you play. And I think it's different.
Have you
with NBA versus
done enough research yet to figure out there's a name that you would like them to target at 10? I have not.
Yeah.
I just wondered if you have.
I have been listening to various podcasts,
mm-hmm.
and I think that there are a couple of these high school kids. I would like them to get a shortstop, whoever is the best remaining high school shortstop, so that they can start replacing the theoretical shortstop as opposed to the real one that is Colson Montgomery.
Is Colson Montgomery the theoretical shortstop of the future?
He's not anymore. He's not the shortstop of the future.
Who is? Chase Meidroth?
I don't think they have one.
Okay.
I don't think Chase Meidroth is a long is projected to be long-term.
Don't tell him that.
Shortstop. Yep.
Don't tell him
and
that.
And I don't think they're going to go out and sign a Dansby Swanson.
No, I don't think they're going to do that yet. Yeah, I think they're not ready for a $100 million shortstop or free agent. Big picture, though, what this, I think, opens the door for me to think about is that what's going on this year and how it coincides with what you think the draft approach will be. Draft an athlete, maybe out of high school.
They need a hitter.
Develop a hitter, bring him up, maybe sooner rather than later because of what the Sox have done so far. 10 rookies have made their debuts this year. Do you believe that it's better to bring up in the situation the Sox are in, guys who are developing on the fly at the major league level, and it's sink or swim? They're throwing them into the deep end in many cases.
I don't know. I will be very curious to see how they develop. But let's talk about that for a second. Because among the 10 rookies that we're talking about, mm-hmm. there are two Rule 5 players. So the Rule 5 draft are for guys that are not protected on 40-man rosters.
They're blocked.
They made a great decision to take Shane Smith. Regardless of what happens, that will be remembered as a really good decision to take him. They had the first pick, and they took him from the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been excellent up to the last couple starts. So we got to examine that. But
Jacob Mizrowski.
Huge success,
yeah.
And that's a guy who counts as a rookie.
Jacob Mizrowski made him expendable.
Mike Vassell will probably start today. He was a Rule 5 pick.
I don't know if he's going to start today.
He'll pitch three innings today. Let's put it that way.
It's a bullpen day. Right. He'll be in the mix. Yes.
And Vassell is another Rule 5 guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with Rule 5 guys is they don't usually make the roster. The idea that you have two on your roster means that you're pretty bad and you don't have a lot of great players, and they've done a good job getting two of them off other teams. Two guys that were cut or not valued. They got, so that's two of their rookies. They got three rookies on the team that came in the Garrett Crochet deal that, of course, Kyle Teal, Chase Meidroth, and Wickerman Gonzalez. We need to talk more about him because you covered his debut as Ozzy. It was incredible. I couldn't understand exactly what you were saying because you were too heavily accented.
You think that?
I'm joking.
You had a hard time understanding me talking about Wickerman Gonzalez?
It's a joke because you're Ozzy. Yeah. I was
Thank
making
you very
a joke.
Much.
So that's five All rookies.
Right. That's good.
Then you got Edgar Aquero, who came in the Dylan Cease trade, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So that's six of your 10.
Okay.
Again, these are not guys that the Sox developed.
Well, I know.
I'm getting at. I look at the draft. They got Grant Taylor and Jacob Polish, who technically would be, well, one of them, Taylor, was a Sox draft pick.
See, I think you're skeptical about their ability to draft and develop players.
I'm just talking about the 10 rookies on the team.
But that's what you're saying, though, right?
That because seems to be what I was hinting at. Thank you.
You're saying that the players, you're giving them credit. You're reluctant to give them credit for the rookies they're bringing up because they didn't draft them.
I'm just saying.
And I find that interesting.
It's very rare. Even Polish wasn't drafted,
undrafted free agent.
And he's 26.
He's a great story. 26 years old.
Yes.
He went to Stanford and Texas A&M, got degrees from both places.
Brilliant guy.
Talked about being a software developer. All of a sudden, he's on the mound. Promoted from AA.
Yes.
This is the perfect guy we're talking about. Promoted from AA.
Yeah.
Is that a good idea or a terrible one?
Well, Grant Taylor was promoted from AA.
Grant Taylor was a second-round draft pick.
What do you think of that?
Started in front of
And
Paul
again,
Skeens at LSU.
That is a success story for the White Sox, in my opinion.
Okay, Grant Taylor getting the first out and the last out in Houston over the weekend is going to be something that is going to be like the way you describe his rookie season.
Did you hear what Getz said about him
yeah.
yesterday? They don't consider him the closer. He closed the game, But or no, it wasn't Getz. It was the manager. It was Will Venable. He said basically that he's a high leverage pitcher. He's been in high leverage situations that he doesn't get caught up in the closer thing.
I also thought that
they don't have a closer.
Chris Getz leaving open the idea of Grant Taylor returning to the start, being a starter at the end of the season, was interesting as you project forward with the White Sox. He will play whatever role they need him to play because he's got the arm to do it and he's got the moxie to do it. But back to the White Sox collection of rookies, when you look at what they've been able to do with them, I don't think it's necessarily fair to discredit them or not to give them credit for developing players who came from other organizations.
I'm not giving them credit. I'm talking about the draft. And when I think of White Sox draft picks, I think about Andrew Vaughn being in Double A for Milwaukee, or Triple A, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. I think about Nick Madrigal.
Yes, being out of baseball. These are a fourth and a third pick, something like that. Is that right?
Are you assuaged at all by being reminded that that was a previous regime? Does that soften?
Where was Chris Getz? Where was he working?
Okay.
I'm not asking
the question.
Okay.
Because
apparently not. I'm worried about the Sox.
Apparently not.
Picks.
Apparently not. You. So
I like
how
Mike
about
Shirley,
George
lovely guy to have on.
What about George Wolko?
Yeah. Let's hope he gets up here and does.
He was
your,
the player of the
does
week.
Your, what's his name? Who is the guy you were just going on about? The Floridian.
Jack Caglione.
Yeah, Caglione. I hope Wolko can.
You
come
will
up
know
here
his and, name. You will know.
I know who he is.
So do you think that they are in a position to develop? You concerned how they're going to develop Wolko?
Of course.
Okay.
Everyone. But I think they – listen, I think they're doing better. I think that, you know, as I mentioned, you know, let's see what happens with Hagen Smith before we say that the Sox totally screwed up.
I'm not saying they screwed up.
But you heard him talking –
I'm saying a team that lacks – offense and power hitting.
Game's about pitching.
Passing on the best slugger and hitter in the draft is something I remember, especially when that hitter ascends to the majors in less than a year.
Okay, but
it got my attention. That's
but if
all.
This guy ends up being as good a pitcher as he's supposed
that's
to be,
that's why it's too early to judge.
Second best left hander in the minor leagues.
This is I'm pointing to. This is my open mind. My mind is open. Okay. My mind is open to that possibility.
Normally, when people point like that, they're saying, why don't you think? They're not making a signal.
Well,
my mind
know.
Is open.
I'm not.
The open mind.
What is the open mind?
That is use your head, Mulligan. what you're saying to me.
Another last question here. Do you give the Cubs any credit at all for developing Pete Crow Armstrong, or was he the Mets farmhand still in your
No, when they traded mind. For him, he was still a young guy, and he broke through as a Cub. Mm-hmm. Was he going to – here's a good question for you. Was Pete Crow Armstrong inevitable? Would he have been this player had he stayed with the Mets?
I think so.
So
I think so.
You answered the question.
Is Braden Montgomery inevitable for the White Sox? That's the comp for me.
Again, he came in that – in that deal for Crochet, which ends up being a good deal so mm-hmm. far.
So far, it's a very good deal for the Sox. Three guys have
and
already
it's
contributed.
A very good deal for Boston.
Yeah, well, he's going to be the guy that if they get back into the race and they believe they can contend, well, he'll be the biggest reason why. I think you're right. He's the ace of that staff. And you're the Sox, and you traded away an ace for four contributors.
Yeah, so far three. Three major leaguers.
And the fourth
and
one might be the best one.
It's very early in that.
The trade. Guy on the way will be the one who's most worth the
I
wait.
I think you're right. I think he's going to be a really good player. I agree with you. And I don't know how long it's going to take him, but he's moving quickly through A-ball. So
he
hopefully
is.
A couple well,
I think
of years tops.
Is he at Birmingham yet?
No. I think he's okay. in, I don't know.
I'll have to check that. We'll check that during the break.
Is he a Dasher or is he a...
The Winston-Salem Dash?
That's...
I love that nickname.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's fun.
Or what's the other one? The
Birmingham Baron?
No. The other Class A team.
Canopolis? You
know, Canopolis. Cannonballers.
So the Cannonballers. Oh, yeah.
Let's
They're
go.
The Cannonballers.
Come on. Let's go.
That's great.
So we'll see.
All right.
Who are the other two rookies? Sean Burke counts as one? Is that what you said? I'm missing another rookie.
Maybe.
Of their 10. Anyway. What do I know? All right, we've got to change gears a little bit. We're going to bring in Bernie Miklas, and we're going to talk about what to expect from the Cardinals. Why are the Cardinals good? How did that happen?
Help. Good question.
All right. 312-644-6767 is the number. Bernie will be next. Mullion on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
To short, and should do it. Cardinals, a big win, 8-2 over the Cubs. They pick up a game in the standings. Power and pitching, the recipe tonight.
4-2 run home runs, beating the Cubbies at their own game, and it was all started by Matthew Liberatore. 7 strong in this one, the bullpen 2 scoreless. That was a great way to get things started against your rival Cubs.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's the final call from St. Louis TV, FanDuel Sports Network Midwest, and we appreciate it. And let's bring in friend of the program, Bernie Miklas, one of the great writers in America, for God's sake, and he appears regularly on KMOX, and he writes columns and does video commentaries for St. Louis Sports Central and appears on Cardinal Territory with videos, podcasts twice a week. Bernie, good morning. How are ya?
You know, when Dusty Rhodes texted me, you know, and asked me, come on, I was really, really happy. I just smiled to see his name. It's been way too long, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you.
Yeah, we love talking to you. And we should say Bernie joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Bernie, I find this amusing, but I know it's hot as blazes out, and it's humid and it's dangerous, but the crowd wasn't up to snuff, according to our resident Cub fans here.
A lot of empty seats
to watch the game. Yeah.
Oh, it was a small crowd. I mean, it was like 27,000 plus tickets sold, and I think there were no shows on top of that. So I don't know. There was actually 27,000 plus in the ballpark. It's been an issue for the Cardinals. I mean, the fans have turned on Bill DeWitt. They despise John Mozeliak, who has been running the baseball operation since 2008. And you know, they don't think the Cardinals spent enough money. They're just mad about everything. And to me, the interesting thing about this is, if you watch the Cardinals play, this is the kind of team, just in their style, their energy, their aggressiveness, you know, their fearlessness, all that kind of stuff. This is the kind of team that Cardinals fans traditionally purport to love and embrace. But everyone just decided, you know, when a lot of people decided, like last winter when the Cardinals, Mozeliak stupidly came out with like 23 different messages about what the season was going to be like. And I think the fans assumed that they were just going to kind of tank the season just to play young players. You know, they tried to trade Arenado and this and that.
Right.
But this is like a really nice surprise, and it's a very entertaining team. And I'm a little mystified why there hasn't been a better response to it. I mean, like, I've always believed this, and I'm sorry to go on so long. You know, if you want to be mad at ownership, fine. If you want to be mad at the front office, fine. If you don't like the manager, fine. Well, why are you taking it out on the players? I mean, they have nothing to do with this, right?
Right. I mean, that's a fair question. It was just very startling to see as many empty seats for the first time the Cubs played the Cardinals this year. But I understand the weather contributed and what you just described as well. Sure. How legit are the Cardinals? How surprised are you that they're there? And can they stick around and threaten the Cubs?
You know, it's a great question, and we're still waiting for the answer. They've been very, very streaky, and I won't run through the whole season, but, I mean, they go through these stretches where they're great, and then they go through these stretches where you're like, oh, well, I guess they're not that good. Just like now, and then all of a sudden they rise up again. I mean, they've won 7 out of 9, 6 out of 7, and I don't think they're going to go away. I don't know that they have the horsepower to stay in this thing as far as the division title. I think they have the horsepower to at least lurk in the wild card race. But the pitching solid, bullpen solid, the offense has been coming alive. So they're really interesting mix of talent because, and I know this word gets overused a lot, but it's true. I mean, the Cardinals are very resilient. I mean, nothing seems to get them down. It's a pretty young team, and they just keep coming at you, coming at you, coming at you. So it's a much more fascinating and compelling season than I thought it would be. I thought it would be just kind of mucking around, you know, well, maybe they can finish 500 type of season, and they've certainly been better than that.
Yeah, I think we all feel pretty surprised by how good they have been. What's your take on the Cubs? The Cubs came out and looked like they were going to put the division away, and now here it is. They've lost 4 of 5. They've struggled a little bit with some pitching issues. And Shota Imanaga comes back on Thursday. But what's the perception of what has gone or how things – only 3.5 games ahead of both the Cardinals and the Brewers.
Yeah, you know, the perception is mixed. I think people in St. Louis, the Cardinals fans, wherever they live, you know, they have an aversion to the idea that the Cubs will be this runaway train. I mean, nobody wants to concede that. Very few want to concede that. I keep saying I think the Cubs will get a pitcher at the deadline or before right. the deadline, and they'll straighten out some of their issues, and they're really poised to have a fantastic finish. I think there's at least a percentage of Cardinals fans that think the Cardinals can still chase the Cubs down. I'm very skeptical of that. But for them to be – they were 7 games out a little while ago, and then for them to be 3.5 and crawling back into this thing, it's pretty interesting because once the Cardinals fell out by 7, I mean, I thought, okay, well, they can still have a good season, but bye-bye Cubs. They're gone, you know. So that turned out to be false, so I was wrong about that one. Hey, can I give you guys a stat real quick?
Please.
All right, Ollie Marmol, if you would listen to the fans of the St. Louis Cardinals, is the stupidest, worst, hideous, most hideous manager in the history of baseball, right? Seriously. Mm-hmm. Like he's incompetent. He has no idea what he's doing. They should have fired him, blah, 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 blah. Since the start of last season, Craig Counsell is 3.5 games better than Ollie Marmol on the standings. If you take the standings last year, this year so far, Counsell's only won 3 more games than Marmol.
Wow.
No, it's true because they were both 83-79 last year, and then you have a situation where, you know, it's 3.5 games out now, and I don't think enough people realize that. So either Counsell is really bad, and by the way, I don't think he is. I think he's very good. Or maybe Marmol's a lot better than he gets credit for. You know, he took that team that, you know, when the bottom fell out after Pujols and Molina left, they had that 91-loss season in 2023. This team has absolutely overachieved since then, since the start of last season. I'm not saying they're great, but the guy must be doing something right. But that's one of the fetishes down here. You know, he's the worst manager that in the history of our beloved game, our national pastime.
So he has... Yeah. Also, a contract that probably isn't what Craig Counsell's is. He's definitely not getting $8 million a year. Half that, Bernie? Is he?
Right.
Is that?
He's. I don't know what he makes. Gosh, I wouldn't think it would be more than a couple million. And, you know, the other thing I would point out about just the Cardinals in general, but also specifically the manager. I mean, listen, I know in Chicago there's people feel that the Ricketts family maybe should be more committed and spend more money, whatever. But in terms of payroll size, the Cardinals and the Cubs, I mean, the Cubs have just, like, spent a massive amount of more dollars on payroll than the Cardinals have the last couple of years. You see what I'm saying? So Marmol is at a really distinct disadvantage here, you know, and so I just find that whole thing fascinating.
Hmm. Bernie, if things, you know, we've been talking about this idea that the Cubs got to make a trade. I know that St. Louis and Chicago would never make a deal, but I'm wondering, there are so many, there might be six teams that are out of the playoffs and look like they're ready to make a deal. That's it. And we don't know when that is going to separate, or even if that's, if we get toward the trade deadline, will there be teams that hang on to players? Like, it's very difficult to make the decision to trade, because you're always in the wild card. You always, as long as you don't get too far out, you feel like, yeah, we got as good a shot as anyone. Are you surprised there isn't more separation and there aren't more teams that know what they're going to do come trade deadline time?
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick to just the National League. I think the National League's loaded with a lot of really good teams. I mean, if you think about it, even some of the teams that don't have great records, like Atlanta, for example,
right.
There's a lot of talent there, right? I mean, Colorado stinks, a couple other, Miami stinks, but and Pittsburgh stinks, but gosh, they have Paul Skeens. But the thing of it is, I think the wild card is going to be, the wild card race is just going to be crazy. And I think a lot of teams will be upgrading. So I don't know how to answer the separation question, yeah. Because I think the NL is so loaded with good teams compared to the American League. And I think that, I think we're going to see a lot of action, because I think a lot of teams in the National League have convinced themselves they can get in the tournament. I think the Cardinals are kind of waffling a little. I don't think they want to sacrifice any of their future to win now. So they're probably going to be straddling that line a little bit. I would expect them to get some help, but it wouldn't be anything dramatic. I think we're all looking at the Cubs to do something dramatic, however.
Bernie, we got a minute left. How is Wilson Contreras doing?
I think he's doing great. He got off to a terrible start, first five, six games or whatever. But he's been hitting, he's emerged as like a team leader. I mean, these young guys love him because he's so fiery and he's so intense and he's also a lot of fun. And they love his emotion. I mean, they love him just going off. He got into a thing with Reese Hoskins a couple weeks ago. And, I think he kind of fuels the energy. The energy was already high, but I think he fuels it even more. And I think he's really happy here. He didn't want to leave. He had a chance to request a trade, and he said, no, I want to help this team get through this. I want to be one of their guys. So some Cardinals fans still don't like him. I don't know whether it's the Cubs factor or not, but I don't know why they wouldn't like him. I mean, he's doing a really good job for them.
Who's the young guy they're bringing up? Aren't they bringing up a pitcher for tonight?
McGreevy?
Well, Michael McGreevy is a first-round draft choice. I forget what year it was, but they haven't used him much, but every time he starts, he does a heck of a job. So you'll see what he looks like tonight. I mean, I think he's got a chance to be really good. He's a really smart pitcher, so we'll see what happens. But other than the Dodgers scoring three runs on him in one inning, I mean, people haven't really laid much of a glove on him this year or last year. It's just we haven't seen enough of him. I think he should be in the rotation now.
Great stuff. Thanks so much, Bernie. Good catching
up
with you.
Nice talking to you, Bernie. Thank you.
Awesome. I loved it. Take care, guys.
That is Bernie Miklas from St. Louis. We have some breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news on The Score. Brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories.
Love Wildfire. Love it.
Love the strawberry rhubarb
pie. Chuck Garfine. How about this? This is Chuck on Twitter X, whatever. White Sox have agreed to terms on a minor league contract with right-handed pitcher Noah Syndergaard. He has reported to the complex in Glendale, last pitch in the majors with the Dodgers and Guardians in 2023.
Excellent. Take a chance. Low risk. Medium reward.
I mean, look, they're going to be getting rid of pitchers. They're going to be trading somebody.
Produce and flip.
Right?
Do whatever. You need guys to eat innings on a team like this. Noah Syndergaard, come on down.
That's pretty wild.
It is.
I always wanted them to get Noah Syndergaard.
Now, if
just not in 2025.
Sox can get Syndergaard, can the Cubs get DeGrom?
I think it's a little different.
No? Okay. Maybe.
You're making deals. All right, 312-644-6767. We got Mike Florio next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We can't beat!
We can't beat!
Boom, beat!
What's up, Gator?
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Mike Florio. And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We live the dream, and we are trying to follow what's happening all over the league and monitor everyone and where they're at. But we really care most about what's going on with Caleb Williams, and we saw him recently at an event, and it's just kind of, it's fun to monitor and to hope that things are going to work out, but who knows? No one is really certain yet as to what is going to happen before the Bears veterans report on July 22nd.
Expectations are high like they were last year. The difference between last year and this year, there is an offensive expert who is the head coach of the team. Makes it more likely things will go well. Makes it less likely if things go well, the offensive expert will be gone. That was my big concern last year with Matt Eberflus as the head coach. Hey, if this works, Shane Waldron ends up becoming a head coach and you have to find a new offensive coordinator. Well, it didn't work. So now you need a new coordinator and a new coach. Enter Ben Johnson. But as one of them said, I assume it was Caleb Williams, one of my other people handled it. That's what he said at the Fanatics Fest recently. The idea is we're both going to be here for a long time. Drew Brees, Sean Payton should be the ideal. Bring two guys together, fuse them at the hip, and keep them in place for 15 years. That's how you build a team that doesn't necessarily win one or more Super Bowls, but that is a contender every single year. And you can't kick the door in if you're not on the front porch. The Bears have to get on the front porch, and the belief is Johnson and Williams together will get them there.
Caleb also on that stage said that Packers fans suck, and he was even more profane later the weekend at a concert where he was chanting and had some fun at the Packers fans' expense. It's one thing for Ben Johnson to call up Matt LaFleur, but can a young quarterback talk too much in the offseason?
I don't know. I mean, look, it adds pressure when it's time to go perform. I think fans like to see when players don't like the rivals as much as the fans don't. I think that's one of the things we've lost in the last 30 years with true free agency. Back in the 70s and the 80s and into the early 90s, teams never changed. And the animosity just grew and grew every year. The two games between the Bears and the Packers, the two games between the Bears and the Vikings, the two games between the Bears and the Lions. It never went away. Now that gets smoothed over. So it's kind of fun. It introduces a little pro wrestling into it. It's no different than Aaron Rodgers saying, I own you, to the Bears fans. It just makes it fun, and it lets the fans suspend disbelief that it's not one big business and that the players aren't nearly as invested in their teams as the fans are.
Yeah, I get that. I find it kind of fun that the Bears are talking so much trash,
they
including the head coach.
Yeah,
and writing some checks. We don't know what's in the account, but they're writing some checks.
That's true. And you mentioned Aaron Rodgers. He had accomplished quite a bit before he declared his ownership of the Bears.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He had the paperwork. He was not trespassing. He actually did have the pink slip to go along with it. But again, it does make it fun. I mean, so much of the stuff that players and coaches say is cliched, repetitive crap. I like it. once somebody steps out of the boundaries that they usually stay within. The Bill Belichick don't say anything. You know, the players who have consistently followed that approach over the years, don't say anything, don't say anything, don't say anything. I kind of like it when they say something. Now, the problem is, you know, if the Packers blow out the Bears twice this year, they don't say as much next year.
It'll come back. It definitely will come back.
Mike, is there any one quarterback battle that interests you over others? It feels like all the teams that are battling have quarterback battles. There's none of them are really compelling. It's more like going to be who loses the battle, not who wins it.
Well, the Browns situation is the most compelling to me because it's almost as if Cleveland tries to come up with new and innovative ways to be dysfunctional. So let's have four quarterbacks. Let's take all four quarterbacks to training camp. Let's acknowledge that at least one of them is going to be woefully unprepared to run this offense because there's only so many reps to go around. I think they're trying to clumsily set up a potential trade for Kenny Pickett by making it look like they'll keep four quarterbacks on the 53-man roster all year long. Who keeps four quarterbacks? Most teams keep two. Four quarterbacks on the 53-man roster, robbing Peter to pay Paul just to advance this ruse of, oh, you know, well, maybe we won't trade this guy, trying to get a little bit more. I think that the smart play is trade Kenny Pickett, get whatever you can before training camp opens, go forward with Flacco and the two rookies, let the two rookies battle it out to see which one's the most likely to emerge as the guy who can perform at a high level, if either, and Flacco is the fail-safe in the event that neither of them can really step up. But I just feel like wherever there's a decision point for the Browns, they're going to make the wrong decision because that's basically what they've done the last 10 years.
Great stuff, Mike. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up.
Thanks, Mike.
See you guys.
That is Mike Florio. We'll be right back. Big news coming tomorrow. But we'll give you a little preview of the NBA draft. Can't wait. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.